So Alicia, you started your life in Poland, and now you are in Montana. How did this happen?
I was a military wife, and that was traveling continuously to many countries where my husband, what his work called for. My eyes were always wide open because there are things happening.
What countries were these? Where were you, where did you go with your husband?
I met my husband in Persia, in Iran. From then, it was United States, Japan, France, Germany.
You were born in Poland, and what happened then?
The war began. It was short-lived. Germany moved away from eastern Poland, where I lived, and Soviet Russia occupied Poland. In no time, my father was arrested, and because he was an enemy of Soviet Russia. He told us after a while that he was executed. Said, don't count on him, and you're coming to Soviet Russia to begin a new life. We did. We were arrested and deported to Kazakhstan. Our people went to Siberia. Our destination was Kazakhstan.
How long did you stay there?
2.5 years.
And you were a little girl then?
I was six, sweet 16. We survived. We were survivors by the mercy of God, with faith and hope. When war broke out between Germany and Soviet Russia, my father came back. He was not executed. The whole Polish nation that was arrested in gulags, prisoners. My father was in Świerdłowsk in Ural Mountains. He worked in a coal mine. We hardly recognized him where he came. But life came back, the hope came back, and all Polish people, young, old, were on the move through whole Siberia, through whole south of Russia. Polish army was formed. We heard General Anders. A father didn't stay long with us. He says, I'm going. I have to fight. We have to pave the road to Poland. After he left, he said, I'll send for you. You'll be with me. We had waited. And my mother was very impatient, and she was very energetic. This is no waiting. We're going. There were no tickets, no permissions. Mother gathered all our possessions that we still had with us and a sack of white flour, which was our ticket all the way from where we were in Akubinsk, west, to a half of southern Russia. We made it to Tashkent, and there my mother got terribly ill. She was bit by a spider or whatever. She was dying. My brother said, you have to go find our father. And he stayed with her. He stayed when she was dying, watching the procession of ox carts filled with bodies taking to communal grave. I went and made it to Guzar, where army was headquarters of Polish army. When I came, all I seen is white tents. So I was walking from tent to tent, asking for my father's name. He was in hospital with malaria. But we also had friends who helped us, brought my mother back. We stayed in Guzar until we were taken to Krasnovodsk. And on the desert there, we were waiting for our chance to go to walk to ships. We walked through the Karakol Desert. 132 degrees, people dying like flies. But we made it. And with a little piece of paper, which says Vyazd do Iran, we crossed the boat bridge from Soviet Russia. We were inside. We were free. Mm-hmm. There were people jumping because they didn't have that little piece of paper. It's all in my books.
That's right. You wrote two books about this experience, right?
The first one, and God was our witness. Mm-hmm. I was everything, all happenings to us when from our arrest to Russia. Mm-hmm. And the second was a continuation of our departure to Iran and our life in as a refugee in Iran.
Then you wrote them when you were already in the States, right?
Oh, yes, that was in 2002. Actually, I was sitting by my husband. He was dying. And it came, I would say, not very difficult. The visions of what happened came like movies, and I described it. It was just a personal story. There is not much of any politics, because we actually didn't know what was happening around us. We didn't know what was happening to our country, to our people, until we were in Tehran and are in the refugee camps. Then we had radio.
So from Iran, where did you travel? Where did you go?
Actually, I met my husband in Iran, and I was working with my mother for American Army. We were in the waitresses in mess hall. And at that time, we left already Tehran and were in Khorramshahr, which was on the very south of Iran. Mm-hmm. It's where my mother was killed through an accident.
After you met your husband, as you said, you traveled all over the world.
It was a great experience. I learned some of the Japanese and the culture, the tradition. You learn to live with people of different race. And you learned a lot from them. And you learned also that although we were victors, they didn't quite accept us, although they were very hospitable to us. But we made a lot of friends, and their culture is so different. I admire their arts and their theater, kabuki. and life. I had the maid. when she came to be interviewed, she came and bowed and say, "Ohio." I didn't know what to say. I said, "Oklahoma." She looked at me and said, "You're different." But she was wonderful. And
so what did Ohio mean, Alicia?
Hello, good morning. Ohio gozaimasu. Yeah. We had to learn on the boat to Japan. We had to learn Japanese. They said you have to communicate with people.
You said you loved art in Japan, and you're an artist yourself, right? You're a painter.
Yes.
When did you start painting?
When I was 5 years old, and I painted portrait of Piłsudski, my hero. My father and mother tried to cram us with English. We spoke French, we spoke English, arts, sports, dancing, and patriotism. That was the first thing.
Now, going back to arts, did art help you in any way in going through what you were going through? Because did you paint? Did you do your art when you were in those terrible places?
In Russia, when we used to get receive packages with wrapped in a heavy paper, I used to cut little card and paint it, because their paints were cheap. Food you couldn't get, but paints were okay. And watercolors, I painted there. I remember painted the camels by the sunset, and dancing girls, the Kazakh girls. I'm going to put on a Facebook when we were doing mixing, which you have kizhak. That's dung from camels and from horses, cows with were with our feet, like dancing with the hay and mixing it, and then you would put them in a like frames, and that was a fuel for the winter. So we were Kija girls.
Do you think in Polish or in English?
I think, do you know, many times I do have recollection of Polish words now. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it drives me crazy because I forget the English name. I go to Polish dictionary to find English name in Polish dictionary. But it just comes back because I completely forgot my Polish. But it's coming back. What I remember a lot in Polish is poetry. Mickiewicz, Asnek. Z żywymi naprzód trzeba iść, po życie sięgać nowe. A nie w uwiędy lauru liść z uporem stroić głowę.
Yes? Yes, perfect. Why did it go away? Because you never had a chance to use Polish?
Because I had to learn English, I had to learn Japanese. In France, of course, French came easy to us. Mm-hmm. German.
Have you been back to Poland since the war, since before the war?
My place is gone. It was given. This is when my anger arises. What right do you have to give country? You who are across the ocean, you give my country to Stalin? And we were in Tehran at the time when the three had the meetings. Churchill, Roosevelt, and Stalin. Yeah. They gave it to him.
So you have never been back?
No. It's gone.
But Poland has a special place in your heart still.
Of course.
Why?
I was educated there. My father was a young fighter with Piłsudski. He fought Bolsheviks. He sang to us when we were going to sleep, Legiony to żołnierska buta. That was his lullaby.
And I know you paint Poland. You paint Polish landscapes, right? Do you search for that in your memory?
Yes. I have a photographic memory.
Oh,
if
good.
I go out, I sketch in my mind. When I can come home, I sketch right in. That's how I learned going through the mountains here and do Eureka. When I started to do Eureka pictures and exhibit pictures, people say, I see Eureka first through your eyes.
Wow.
That was more than money.
Did you ever share stories, other than the books, of course, but your feelings about Poland, not just those horrible things that happened, but you know how you feel about the country and your memories. Did you share it with your children?
You know, when we were busy in the army life, it was always occupied with something else: Cub Scouts, Girl Scouts, schools, PTA. And occasionally, there were questions. When my daughter edited my first book, she cried on every page. And my son is a Vietnam veteran. And we used to share. Sometimes not quite go very deep, but used to share the danger and the pain, and something that just stays in your mind and you keep it somewhere where you don't want to touch it. I always say that when you come up to a dangerous point, you think you're going to die, things happen, and then something in you comes up that you don't think you have it. People do have it, they don't know until there is eye to eye with something that's going to end your life, and it doesn't. And that helps you. It's the spine that gets so strong. The people that come and buy my books, when they talk to me about it, they say, how could you do it? I said, you do it too. You don't know. You have to do it.
Now, your life now is peaceful, and you have lots of people around you, a beautiful place where you live. Are you at peace with yourself?
When I came, my son brought me here. He knew what was happening, and he said, Mom, time to go. When I came here, I felt peace. I felt like it's the haven. My last place where I put my foot on the ground. And I felt also then that my life begins again.
Why Montana? Why Eureka?
Because my son lived here and he kept describing it. And he said, Mom, you paint and you just never stop. I never did.
Lucky for many people in Eureka.
Yes, I see every corner.
You play the piano. You have an antique store. I don't know. What else do you do?
Oh, piano was my life in Poland. This is one thing I forgot. Every year I went to conservatory in Lwów. And I played always at the different concerts. Soviet Russia stopped me from that. But I met a pianist in Soviet Russia. He was German-born, encouraged me, and said there is a piano in library here. I started, it came back.
Do you play now?
I play in church. My fingers are very arthritic. When I get by the piano, I say, excuse me, Chopin, excuse me, Beethoven.
I'm sure he forgives you. Who are you? Are you American? Who are you? What's your identity?
I am American. Yes, I'm very proud to be American. It took me 5 years to study Constitution and history, which history we learned in Poland, believe me. I love America.
92-year-old on Facebook and everything. I have gone through this unreal time. I love the... when you put on Facebook this thing about bikini. Your bikini that you wore. Which year was that?
1956. This was when in France, at the time, bikini was quite normal. We lived very close to the beach in La Borde. Children loved to go, and I bought the bikini and went. This was France. And when I brought it home, we were Milwaukee. We lived there. We're going to the beach, to Michigan Lake, and do some swimming. And I remember I was hanging clothes on the line, and I had my bikini on. And my neighbor said, what are you doing? I said, we're going to the beach. She said, in that thing? I said, yeah, what's wrong? He said, make sure you get money, because you get arrested. At that time, the bikini until... a couple of years later, you were not allowed.
If you were to give people a few tips based on your experience of so many years of your life and so many places you've been to, people you've met, what would those things be?
Learn about yourself first. Who you are. Learn the right way, have a religion, have somebody behind you that could help you. You're not alone. And follow the right way. Look straight, but look to the side and look behind you. And behind you is what teaching you. What wrong you did, what wrong people do. And follows the straight line, because inside each human, when it's born, it's very innocent. And we all could live in peace.